Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 17, divisions of faith, text number 3. Sadvan Rupa Sarvasha.
Sadvan Rupa Sarvasha.
Shara Bhavati Bharata.
Shara Bhavati Bharata.
Karamayo Yam Purusho.
Karamayo Yam Purusho.
Yo Yatschara Sevasaha. Sattva Anurupa. According to the existence Sarvasha of everyone, Shraddha, faith, Bhavati becomes Bharata, O son of Bharata, Shraddha, faith. Maya, full of I am this Purusha, the living entity,
Ya, who,
yet, having which, Shraddha, faith, Saha, thus, Eva, certainly, Saha, he. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, O son of Bharata, according to one's existence, under the various modes of nature, one who evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. Supra's purport. Everyone has a particular type of faith, regardless of what he is. But his faith is considered good, passionate, or ignorant, according to the nature he has acquired. Thus, according to his particular type of faith, one associates with certain persons. Now, the real fact is that every living being, as stated in the 15th chapter, is originally a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one is originally transcendental to all the modes of material nature. But one forgets his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes into contact with material nature, conditional life, he generates his own position by association with different varieties of material nature. The resultant artificial faith and existence are only material. Although one may be conducted by some impression or some conception of life, originally he is nirguna or transcendental. Therefore, one has to become cleansed of the material contamination that he has acquired in order to regain his relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is the only path back without fear. Krishna consciousness. If one is situated in Krishna consciousness, then that path is guaranteed for his elevation to the perfectional stage. If one does not take to this path of self-realization, then he is surely to be conducted by the influence of the modes of nature. The word Shraddha or faith is very significant in this verse. Shraddha or faith originally comes out of the mode of goodness. One's faith may be in a demigod or some created god or some mental concoction. One's strong faith is supposed to be productive of the works of material goodness. But in material conditional life, no works are completely purified. They are mixed. They're not in pure goodness. Pure goodness is transcendental. And purified goodness, one can understand the real nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as one's faith is not completely in purified goodness, the faith is subject to contamination by any of the modes of material nature. The contaminated modes of material nature expand to the heart. Therefore, according to the position of the heart, in contact with the material mode of material nature, one's faith is established. It should be understood that if one's heart is in the mode of goodness, his faith is also in the mode of goodness. His heart is in the mode of passion. His faith is also in the mode of passion. And if his heart is in the mode of darkness, illusion, his faith is also contaminated. Thus we find different types of faith in this world, and there are different types of religions due to different types of faith. The real principle of religious faith is situated in the mode of pure goodness. But because the heart is tainted, we find different types of religious principles. Thus, according to the different types of faith, there are different kinds of worship. Sadva nirupa sarva sha sharad bhaviti bharata sharama yo yo purusha yo yas charas evasaha. O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of particular faith according to the modes he has acquired. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained that lust has two qualities, or the illusory energy has two qualities. One is called Avaratmika Shakti, and the other is called Pratyatmika Shakti. Avaratmika Shakti is the covering principle of the illusory energy, which makes us believe that we are a product of the material nature. And there are different degrees of covering. As Krishna says, Dumena vriyata vranira, itardar shomalena cha, itovana avrita garvas, itate nedam avrita. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. Luckily, we're in the human form of life. And therefore, there's a little spark of consciousness, the ability to understand that we're spiritual beings, and that there's a supreme spiritual being. Other than that, the covering is so intense that even so-called human beings cannot even understand simple things, like the body is changing, but the soul, ourselves, we're always the same. And what to speak of the animals, or even lower than the animals. Now, as soon as we're covered by the material nature, there's Pratyatmika Shakti. They go together. And that is Aritam Gyan Etena, Gyani No Nityavarina, Kama Rupena Kuntia, Dusprena, Analena Cha. That's the man's pure consciousness. He's covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied, and which burns like fire. So this Ari, the greatest enemy we have is lust. Because it's only due to lust that we're impelled, that we're in ignorance, we don't see things in terms of Krishna consciousness. And only due to lust that we're impelled to do things that we know we're not supposed to be doing. Or at least, we may think we're supposed to be doing them, but they're not necessarily helping us get out of the material concepts of life. Therefore, one has to develop one's faith. But faith doesn't mean blind faith. Faith means where we put our consciousness. Sad means heart. And Da means where we put. Practically in everything, language, probably even in Slovenia, there's some connect, or Croatian, there must be some connection, like to do something. Even Russian is Dilet. What is it in Slovenia? See? Da, from the original Sanskrit, da. To do, or in English it's to do, of course other languages, faire. French is faire, so. Anyhow, some languages are closer to Sanskrit. What is it in Spanish? Hacer. Anyhow, there's some, I'm sure there's some connection. In any case, da means where we put our heart. Where we put our heart has three things actually. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So, just putting our attention on something is not sufficient. Just like, dayato visham punsam sangas te shupajayate. Sangas sanjayate kama, kama krodha bujayate. That, first we contemplate things, but then as soon as we contemplate them, we may become attached to them. Just like a tiger. He's looking around, he sees a tree, he sees a flower, he sees a rabbit, and he fixes on the rabbit because he's hungry. So he saw many things, but he didn't really feel very much. He didn't go over to this flower and smell it. He didn't embrace the tree. But when he saw the rabbit, he focused his attention on the rabbit. Not necessarily give his love to the rabbit. He definitely gave his attention. And he felt something, strong feeling. Therefore, first we contemplate things and we feel about them. Thinking, feeling, and then on the basis of our feeling, we'll do something, either positively or negatively. So, and when we do something according to this verse, then either we become purified, if it's in the higher mode of nature, or we become more covered. The old story of the bull, the old bull and the lion, the old lion. So in the jungle, there was an old bull, there was an old lion, and the lion was too weak to eat the bull, therefore they made an alliance. But one summer, everything dried up. All the other animals, they disappeared. And therefore there was nothing to eat, especially for the jackals, who depended on the lion to kill the other animals in order to, so then they got the remnants. So the jackals decided we have to get the lion to kill the bull. So they went to the bull and said, actually the lion is very hungry. He's decided to eat you, but we're your friends. So we decided to tell you to protect you. Watch out for the lion. He has plans to slaughter you. Then they went to the lion and said, actually the bull, he's been acting rather strangely lately. We even heard that he has plans to kill you. So the bull came along one day and the lion saw him and became very defensive and started to show his teeth to protect himself from the bull, who he thought might kill him. So when the bull saw the lion showing his teeth, he realized that the jackals were actually telling the truth, that the lion was going to kill him. So he put his horns down in order to protect himself. But eventually the lion killed the bull and the jackals feasted. So we see someone, we expect them to act in a certain way, and they look at us and they see our expectation and they figure out by the look that we have in our face, they act in order to reciprocate with our look, which is coming about because of their speculation of what they're thinking that we're going to do. In other words, it's called self-fulfilling prophecy. That due to our conditioned life, we're acting in a certain way, expecting a certain result. And the result is, the result comes, because that's how we're acting. Therefore, the way out is explained here as Krishna consciousness. Not to see the world according to our conditioned eyes, just like a person in a mode of ignorance. If he goes into a forest, then he sees everything as a nice place to go to sleep. A person in a mode of passion, he thinks about cutting down all the trees and selling the flowers. A person in a mode of goodness, he smells the flowers and he admires all the different trees. And a person in transcendental, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, goes to the forest and chants Hare Krishna to liberate all the conditioned souls there. Same forest, but it's seen in a completely different way by different people under different modes or who are transcendental. So for a devotee, the whole world, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, the whole world is full of happiness. Because it's seen as a great opportunity to serve Krishna by bringing the conditioned souls back to the spiritual world. And as we know, for the others, mode of goodness is a place to conserve the energies and admire the creation. And for the passion, it's a way of exploiting the material nature. And the mode of ignorance is simply try to eat, sleep, mate, and defend with a minimum amount of effort. Typical example is the pig. The mode of ignorance opens his mouth and lets the remnants of Vrindavan enter into it, of the great saints in Vrindavan. Therefore, hearing is so important, but hearing is not enough. We have to pay attention. But we can only pay attention if what we're hearing has some attractiveness to it, or we listen to something we don't like. Therefore, often devotees just tell stories just to keep everyone's attention. Or better than that is to tell a joke, because if everyone else laughs, it wakes the person up who's asleep. In any case, first thing is we have to pay attention. So it should be something interesting about Krishna. Otherwise, people won't pay any attention. And if they don't pay any attention, they won't be able to feel anything. You can't feel something that you don't pay attention to. And feeling is not enough. The whole idea is to get people to do something in Krishna's service. At least chant Hare Krishna, if not do something to serve the holy name. Besides this, chanting is sufficient, but also, generally speaking, we're not Haridas Thakuras, and therefore we have to do some service too, to the holy name. In any case, as we become purified, as we concentrate our mind upon Krishna and give our love to him, then we become purified. There's, as it says here, there's no real other way of becoming purified other than concentrating our minds and giving our love to Krishna. Even the Vedic knowledge, the Vedic instructions, they're just an indirect way of doing the same thing, because all of them come from Krishna, of focusing our mind and giving our love to Krishna. But the best thing to do is directly try to either worship the deities or chant the holy name or hear Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita or serve the devotees or make the atmosphere spiritual by living in a temple or going and preaching and making the world a temple by spreading the holy name. In any case, somehow or another, fix the mind upon Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all pleasure, the source of all spiritual energy, the source of all bliss and love, and therefore he's Krishna, he's the most attractive. And when Krishna is there, Krishna is Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, when Krishna is in our consciousness, then the illusions that we have go away, and we can realize we're eternal, that we're by nature full of bliss, full of love, and full of knowledge, can understand how everyone and everything comes from Krishna, and therefore become eternally happy and prosperous and progressive. Not a bad thing for just chanting the holy name. It's worth the price, especially since we're not paying anything for it. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Microphone here.
Hare Krishna, I want to ask a question, because you mentioned that we cannot rely just on chanting like Haridas Thakur, we also have to do some service. But then also Prabhupada said that it's needed to be perfect only, it's enough to perfect only one of the nine processes. So this would mean that if we just chant and purify ourselves just by chanting, it should be enough.
Sure, you can do it.
Why did you say that it's not enough? To just chant, and not to do service.
Do you know anyone who could just chant all day long?
I think you mentioned the disciple who does that.
What's that?
Who chants all the time.
But all the time?
I don't know. But it's you don't get purified by the process, and gradually you can...
Well, Haridasa Kaur could chant. I said we're not all Haridasa Kauras. Most of us. At least I can't just chant all day long. I have to do other types of service to Krishna too.
So this means that for us, perfecting just one type of process would never be enough, like just hearing. Or just, I don't know, just doing worship or something.
Well, if you make enough progress, maybe you'll become attracted to just hearing. I don't know. Is that all you... Do you think you could just hear all day long? Hear, read Krishna book all day long?
Not me. I'm attracted to the service, but some others might be attracted to other processes, not the service. So.
Well, I don't know anyone who's really that much absorbed. Even Prabhupada didn't do that.
My question is, for us, is viable to just rely on one process?
No.
So it's not viable.
No. Prabhupada wanted us to do active service. Every only asked for 16 rounds. When devotees try to do Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati, Prabhupāda said, don't try to imitate Haridasa Thakura. It's in a holy place to try and get some prestige, false prestige. So otherwise your mind will take over.
What is Atma Nivedana, really?
Surrender and follow the instructions. We have the example of Ambrish Atmayudnivedana, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo, Pachamsi Vaikuntha Gunan Vardhane, Hara Hara Bhakta Marjanadi Su, Chikarucha Patodaye. So Maharaj Ambrish is known as a Matparaha devotee. He fixed it false. First of all, he fixed his mind on Krishna, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo. The Chamsi Vaikuntha Gunan Varane, then he glorified Krishna. Then he used his feet to go to his feet to go to the temple, his hands to touch the devotees, etc. He used all his senses in the service of Krishna. That's called Atma Nivedana. Using everything in Krishna's service.
Like us.
Yes, exactly like us. Anything else? We're all followers of Ambarish Maharaj. Vala Grantarashima Bhagavad Gita Kija.